I've been privileged to visit Israel several times, and the experience never grows old. To visit Bethlehem and the very spot where it's reported that Jesus was born is awe-inspiring. The rolling hills of Nazareth, where Jesus spent most of his life, brings visions of Jesus as a boy playing on those hills. Standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on water, propels one to want to put your toes in that water. And I did. The area around the spot in the River Jordan, where John the Baptist baptized a 30-year-old Jesus, is more commercialized now. But when I first went there in 1979, it was much like it was at the time of Jesus. I took a small empty bottle and filled it with water from the River Jordan, and it's still there in a drawer in my closet 39 years later. I walked through the old Arab sector alone and bargained for a handmade gold, opal, and sapphire ring, and I got it for $100. Today that ring is appraised at $1,800, but the memory is priceless. There are many other memories of my visits to the Holy Land, but the most inspiring was to trace the footsteps of Jesus as he carried his cross through the streets. I was able to walk that same path in Jerusalem, but I did not have to carry a cross, because Jesus did it for me. If you close your eyes, it's possible to see our Savior in your mind as he struggled along that very same path to his death. Ann and I are returning from 10 days in Cuba, and since I've been away from the news for that time, I decided to change direction and use this commentary not on politics, but on religion. The killing of 11 Jewish worshipers in a synagogue in Pittsburgh by an anti-Semitic, hate-filled crackpot led me to this subject. We need to understand not just how and why we believe, but how others might differ. The debate about Christianity and Judaism has raged since the days of Jesus. Now, I've done a lot of research on the life of Jesus for this report. Some of this I knew from my acceptance of Jesus as my Lord and Savior from the age of 8. But I'll try to explain questions that have been posed to me over the years. I do not proclaim to be a preacher. My comments today are drawn totally from my research. Some people claim that Jesus of Nazareth was never really a Jew. However, a brief look at the scriptures makes it obvious that Jesus could have been nothing but a Jew. In contrast to Hollywood versions of Jesus that often reflect a Western view of the Christ, there is much proof that Jesus was, in fact, Jewish. The very first verse of the New Testament clearly proclaims the Jewish ethnicity of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it speaks of the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. First, the name Jesus has clear Hebrew origins. Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Joshua, which is why some refer to him as Yeshua. The name means Yahweh is salvation. Second, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a town occupied by Jewish people. Bethlehem had long been a Jewish settlement known as the City of David. Third, Jesus' early parents were from Nazareth, a city of Jewish people. It's undeniable that first century Nazareth was a small Jewish town. Fourth, Jesus was born at a time that a census required Jews to return to their towns of ancestry. Joseph would never have traveled with a pregnant wife to Bethlehem for the census unless he was Jewish. Mary, the mother of Jesus, also had a Jewish ancestry. Luke's genealogy of Jesus traces Mary's side of the family and shows a connection with David and the tribe of Judah. Jesus' aunt and uncle, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were also Torah-observant Jews, as shown in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Zechariah was a priest. The whole family took their Jewish faith seriously. Hebrews 7:14 states, "For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah." Fifth, Jesus was taken to the temple as an infant, according to the Jewish law of Moses. Sixth, Jesus was at the Jewish temple as a child, according to Jewish custom, as evidenced in Luke 2nd chapter verses 41 to 52. And seventh, Jesus observed Jewish customs as an adult. He attended the synagogue on the Sabbath. He traveled to Jerusalem for Passover and told those he healed of skin disease to present themselves to the priests as required by the law of Moses. Everything in the gospel accounts indicates that Jesus was a Torah-observant, Sabbath-abiding Jewish man. Those who argue against the Jewish heritage of Jesus have to provide alternative answers to these seven historical facts, and thus far, no one has been able to do so. The next question asked was, is Jesus black? Now, a straightforward look at the history of the life of Jesus in the Gospels notes that he was a virgin-born son of a Hebrew woman from the town of Nazareth in the modern-day nation of Israel. A descendant of Jews, Jesus would have certainly been born with a Jewish complexion, typically consisting of an olive light brown skin tone. This is also supported by the fact that Jesus fit well within his local Jewish culture and was known as being from Nazareth and being a Galilean. We see that in Matthew 26:69. Jesus could only be rejected and suffer as the Jewish Messiah if he was Jewish. In John chapter 4, verse 22, it specifically notes the Jewishness of Jesus from his own perspective. Jesus was nailed to the cross with a sign that called him King of the Jews. To both Jews and Gentiles, Jesus was seen as a Jewish man who was called a king. While he was rejected, his resurrection proved his claims as the Messiah. Pardon me. The evidence clearly supports the view that Jesus was an ethnic Jew with a Jewish complexion. This Jewish Messiah is the one who calls those of every background to come to him for salvation, as stated in Acts 4:12, offering eternal life to all who believe, John 3, chapter 16th verse. Jesus is also referred to in the Bible as Jesus of Nazareth. But why? Several reasons can be given. First, during the time in which Jesus lived on earth, people were often referred to by the town or city in which they lived. Since Jesus had spent most of his life in Nazareth, it was natural that he be called Jesus of Nazareth. Practically speaking, Jesus was a common name of the time. Adding "of Nazareth" to his name would have made it clear which Jesus people were talking about. Theologically, the first use of Jesus of Nazareth connects Jesus with the Jewish Messiah. John chapter 1, verse 45 reveals, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Though he had been raised for part of his childhood in Egypt, Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Jewish parents and raised mostly in Nazareth, a Jewish town in Galilee. The phrase Jesus of Nazareth may also have been used in a way to emphasize the humble background of Jesus, for Nazareth was considered a lowly, despised town in Galilee. That explains the reaction of Nathanael in John 1:16. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This lowly view of Nazareth also fulfilled the Old Testament predictions regarding the Messiah as despised and rejected. The New Testament teaches that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Matthew 12:46 states, "While he was speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his sisters stood outside, asking to speak to him." Luke 8:19 adds, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd." Specifically, Jesus was said to have four brothers. In Matthew 13:55, we read, "It is not this, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" James was the author of the book of James in the New Testament. John 7:10 further mentions that Jesus' brothers attended the Jewish festival while Jesus stayed behind. Therefore, all four gospel writers specifically mentioned Jesus as having brothers. In addition to four brothers specifically mentioned in the New Testament, Jesus is also noted as having more than one sister. In Matthew 13:56, we read, "And are not all of his sisters with us?" Though unnamed, the plural form of sisters indicates more than one sister. The connection is clearly speaking of sisters who were children of Joseph and Mary. Biblically, it is evident that Jesus was born of Mary when she was a virgin, meaning she had not had intimate relations before the birth of Jesus. However, nothing in Scripture teaches against Mary and Joseph having other children together after Jesus' birth, something the New Testament says occurred. Two of these brothers, James and Jude, were early leaders in the church and played an important role in Christianity's early development. These half-brothers of Jesus, called half-brothers since they were not virgin-born as Jesus was, offered a rich addition to the heritage of the early Christian faith that have benefited believers throughout history. They continue to impact Christianity today through their writings. Jesus most likely spoke more than one language and showed at least some ability in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. Historians have established that Aramaic being the common Jewish language spoken during this time period, meaning most of the words spoken by Jesus were in Aramaic. Jesus clearly read and spoke some Hebrew. He read from a Torah scroll in a synagogue early in his public ministry. The scroll would have been written in Hebrew. At the age of 12, Jesus discussed the Hebrew scriptures with the religious leaders in the temple, impressing them with his wisdom. Luke 2:41-50. Jesus may also have known and spoken some Greek, for Greek was the primary spoken language of the Roman Empire at the time, and was the language in which the New Testament was originally written. During the trials of Jesus with Pilate and Herod, Jesus may have spoken in Greek or possibly Latin, but that is not certain. In Matthew 8:5-13, Jesus spoke with the Roman centurion. That centurion would almost certainly have spoken in Greek. Further, regarding Jesus' ability to speak Greek, it can be found in the language of Scripture itself. Both Matthew and John wrote their Gospels in Greek, indicating a level of Greek language usage among the apostles. Certainly, as fully human and fully divine, Jesus could have spoken in any language he desired. The question here is, what language or languages did he speak on earth? There is clearly evidence for both Aramaic and Hebrew, with some additional support, that Jesus may have spoken Greek on some occasions. So, what were the key events in the life of Jesus? Many took place and are recorded in the New Testament, especially the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The essential elements described on multiple occasions include his birth, baptism, miracles, teachings, suffering, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and predicted return. Both Matthew and Luke in chapter 1 and verse 2 provide accounts of the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding it. Of important note are the facts that Jesus was born to a virgin in the city of Bethlehem and was visited by shepherds who arrived following the appearance of angels who told them of the king who had been born. Further, his birth came to fulfill prophecies of one who would come from the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, and the family line of David. Multiple Gospels note the baptism of Jesus by a relative named John the Baptist at around the age of 30. This marked the beginning of his public ministry and included the voice of God speaking from the sky. At least 35 miracles by Jesus are recorded in the New Testament. He healed the sick, the blind, and lepers. On 3 occasions, he raised individuals from the dead. He also showed power over nature, including stopping a storm and walking on water. The New Testament records people's amazement at the teachings of Jesus. Large portions of the Gospels, including the Sermon on the Mount and many of the parables, which were stories with a spiritual purpose, drew awe. In fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and other prophecies, Jesus suffered at the hands of his enemies. He was arrested, he was beaten, and nailed to a cross after Jewish leaders handed him over for a death sentence at the approval of the Roman leader Pontius Pilate. The death of Jesus was made clear due to both the impact of his sufferings, his pierced side, his death cry, and Pilate's confirmation that he was embalmed with 75 pounds of spices and that he remained in the tomb for 3 days. The New Testament records on multiple occasions that the tomb was empty on the third day and that many eyewitnesses claim to have seen Jesus alive again. 1 Corinthians 15 mentions 500 people who saw the resurrected Jesus, most of whom were still alive when Paul wrote about it 20 years later. At least 513 different people were referred to as having seen Jesus alive again, including several followers who died for that belief. We read in Matthew 28, Luke 24 and Acts 1, that after 40 days, Jesus ascended into the sky with the promise that he would return again. Of the major world religions, Christianity and Judaism are likely the most similar. Christianity and Judaism both believe in one God who is almighty and eternal. Both religions believe in a God who is holy, righteous, and just, while at the same time loving, forgiving, and merciful. Christianity and Judaism share the Old Testaments, the authoritative Word of God, although Christianity includes the New Testament as well. Both Christianity and Judaism believe in the existence of heaven, the eternal dwelling place of the righteous, and hell, the eternal dwelling place of the wicked, although not all Christians and not all Jews believe in the eternity of hell. Christianity and Judaism have basically the same ethical code, commonly known today as Judeo-Christian. Both Judaism and Christianity teach that God has a special place for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Though they seem somewhat similar in their teachings, there is a difference in Judaism and Christianity. The major difference between Christianity and Judaism is their perception of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of a Messiah, according to Christianity. Judaism, on the contrary, recognizes Jesus as a good teacher. They would even call him a prophet of God. Christianity is the most widespread religion in the world. Most Christians come from Protestant, Roman Catholic, and Eastern Orthodox churches. An interesting fact is that Christianity organized from Judaism. In summary today, it should be understood that both Christianity and Judaism differed much only in the conception of the person of Jesus. Christianity believes that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Judaism does not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Christianity holds the view that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life to take unto him our sins. Judaism does not hold that way. On the contrary, they say that there was no necessity to make any sacrifice on the part of Jesus. Christianity says that Jesus was God in the flesh, while Judaism says that he was not so. He was a human being, according to Judaism. We have all been given the right to make up our own minds on what we believe. There are, of course, some people who don't believe in God or Jesus Christ at all. They have the right to take that position, but many of them are not satisfied with holding to their own beliefs. They launch steady attacks on religion. I've never understood why somebody would feel the need to demand that others knuckle under to their hate of religion. They say there is no God. If you believe differently, they seek to rock your boat. If they are convinced that there is no God, why go to the trouble of trying to convince other people? If I was an atheist, and I definitely am not an atheist, I would sit smugly by and watch people I consider delusional go about their worship. Why get worked up about it? There will come a day when the matter will be settled. I'm content with my faith, and therefore I don't fear the day of judgment. As for those who have no faith, they have absolutely nothing to gain. I hope you've enjoyed this today. We did a lot of research to try to answer some questions that people have. We learn these things, some of them in church and Sunday school, but not all. As a young boy, it always bothered me that it was not fully explained to me in Sunday school. When they said Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, my young mind could not comprehend that. How do you plow through 6 feet of dirt? What we should have been told is that Jesus was not buried underground. He was placed into a tomb, a cave, that was donated to him. But in any event, we have a lot of questions. We have few answers. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back next Monday at 3:15.